In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I'm going to have papers rustling in my hand this whole time. Good morning to you all. I don't know why I keep going back to this image of Jesus as someone who's very nice. Gentle, certainly, but nice, I don't know. During the season after Pentecost, I can kind of lull myself back into that, but then I'm shaken awake at Advent with these readings. It's always tricky. Being confronted by what Jesus says in the gospel during our season of Advent. So it's the start of a new church year. And I think it's funny, at the start of each church year, it seems like Jesus is jumping straight to the end. I mean, what can this possibly mean? Now first, I don't think Jesus is mistaken. And I don't think that prophet Jeremiah is mistaken either. But if we're to assert that they're not mistaken, then I think we have to take a closer look at the readings. Jeremiah says that in the days in which a new branch will spring up from David, so that is Israel will come back again, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. So was Judah saved? And did Jerusalem live in safety? I'll forgive you if you don't remember your biblical history or if you never read it in the first place. It's pretty complicated. But the answer is maybe, well, yes, but then also no. That's the answer. After the awful things that happened in Jeremiah's days, when that prophet was actually living, this was toward the end of the 7th century BC, Babylon was occupying force in Judah and Jerusalem, and people were hurt, and things were difficult, and finally people were exiled into Babylon. After that period, which is what I believe the prophet is referring to, believe it or not, Jeremiah is a really confusing book, so it's hard to make historical sense of the book because of the way that it's laid out, so I'll say that right now. But my reading, the branch of David comes back. He's referring to the period after exile. So during that period, yes, it's true. Jerusalem was able to live in safety after terrible things had happened, and Judah was restored. But then also, no. Judah was not okay. Jerusalem was not okay, especially 40 years after the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. We remember a couple of weeks ago, or I believe it was last week, he came out of the temple where he had been worshiping, and one of the disciples said, "Wow, look at these huge stones, look at this great mighty temple," which the temple, by the way, was 150 feet tall, it was grand. And Jesus said, "Oh, all this? Well, this is going to fall down, you know." Indeed it did, about 40 years after Jesus' earthly ministry. Around 72 AD, the temple fell. So, how do we interpret the security assured by our faithful God? I mean, he's not lying. It serves us to remember that the greatest interpreter of the Old Testament is Jesus himself. Perhaps his words in Luke can shed some light on how to read this section from Jeremiah, in which the prophet, on behalf of God Almighty, assures the faithful that Judah and Jerusalem will be okay, despite the historical reality that they were not okay. Jesus says there will be signs of difficulty. That's sort of an understatement. But that God comes in the midst of these signs, in the middle of these difficulties. And he makes it sound like the world is about to end. In fact, he assures everyone who's listening that it will happen during their lifetimes. It refers in part to a time outside of time. That's part of what he's referring to. That's part of why during the Eucharistic prayer, when we bless and sanctify the elements, they become the body and blood of Christ, we remember. And then we relive, as it were, happening in the present, the Last Supper. It's a part of what we do in worship. It's a part of the mystery of what we do together. So Jesus said it would happen during their lifetimes. How many of you have heard of Aelia Capitolina? That was the new name for Jerusalem. It's what the Romans called the city they fashioned from the smoldering remains of Jerusalem. All the remaining Jews were driven out of the city limits. And some stones remaining from the temple's ruins were used to make the new temple on the same site. But this time, the temple was dedicated to Jupiter. That temple, where sacrifices were performed, it was the center of the cosmos for the Israelites, for the Jews. And at that time, it was desolated. And in a sense, it's remained so to this day. The world had ended. Many of Jesus' followers did live to see that. Think of Jesus' own ministry. It saw his own death. And so our faith, it does not airbrush over tragedy. It doesn't wallpaper over grief. No. Rather, Jesus tells his followers, perched as they were at the catastrophic end of an era, this will pass. But God remains God. I believe Jesus was saying, God lives in you. Jesus said, God the Father and I are the same. Jesus said, I know your deepest, most tragic pain and fear. You will live. Things, institutions, the temple, they come and go, but God does not. And you are God's. You belong to the truth. And in times like these, everything but the truth will fall into the sea. Stick to the truth, retain your faith, and you are not alone. I'll add here, too, when you start to doubt your faith, go ahead and talk about it. That's something you need to share amongst you. I needed to share that burden for me sometimes. I share that burden for you sometimes. It's the church. It's what we call the Holy Spirit praying for us when we don't have the words. As we stick to our faith, retain truth, and share the burden of doubt, we're not alone, and the light of Christ will shine in you, through you, in the midst of upheaval. I think that's what it means to put on the armor of light. You, the church, are the light of Christ in the midst of upheaval. You and your faith will not pass away, just as Jesus' words never did pass away. So why at the beginning of the year? Well, lots of reasons, but let's try this one on. I believe we human beings are in a permanent state of apocalyptic death and upheaval. Every generation sees it. The world ended during World War II. The world ended for millions of people. And I'm not talking about the ones who died, the ones who lived. At every age, we see this. Right now, you don't need me to catalog the reasons why it seems like the world's ending. It seems like the world's ending. Not only is it the world, it's also the condition of being human. I also think that from the time the first human being realized that he or she was going to die, that came along with the birth of consciousness. Apocalyptic upheaval, death, mortality, dread, searching for meaning. These are things that are just as human as what we see around us. It's being human being. God knows this because he was here in a body, born of a woman. God knows firsthand the depth of human terror and drama. God lived it. And no, it wasn't pretty, but it was beautiful. All we have to do is remember that. The love that shone forth then, that God loves us still, that God is all around us, and that living out the assurance of his saving love, it shows the light of Christ to the world. That is, as we live without fear of death, but knowing that there is assurance on the other side of that curtain, as we live that way, we are the light of the world. It's Christ living in us. We do this through the work and the life of the church. It's communion, prayer, outreach, proclaiming the gospel, promoting justice, peace, and love, working out our faith together. Remembering this now, today, in the midst of the feverish, brimming uncertainty, well, how better to begin the church year than to say it out loud? And of course, the expectation and constant hope that we will actually see him in some way that passes all understanding, that it will happen. And we will hold our heads high, knit to our neighbors, our enemies, and our friends, and those who have gone before us, and the heroes of and heroines of faith, the saints. Knit all together by a fellowship of love. Glory be to God. Amen.